I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. God, what joy there is that fills this place. We are so grateful for a time to come together, to listen, to share. We are hungry, O God, for a word from you. We pray that your word is in the midst of mine, and that we might have open ears and hearts and minds to hear them, to live into them, to rejoice in them. Amen. So, are we still Eastering? That is my question for you today. It is still Easter, after all. Christ is still risen. The cross is still empty. The stone is still rolled away. Death still does not have the last word. So are we still Eastering? I don't think Eastering is a word technically, but it should be. Because verbs that end in ing, I think they're called present progressive verbs if we want to get grammatical, tell us what is happening now. It speaks of something that started before and is still in progress. Something underway, a journey we are on. So yes, Eastering is perfect. It's what we're doing. It is the journey we're on this second Sunday in the season of Easter. As our theme suggests this morning, and as I reflected earlier, we are the resurrection witnesses, called to celebrate, to go out into the world, to pay attention to the new life blooming around us, to be astonished and in awe of it, and to tell the world about it. That is what Eastering is all about. And we are not alone in this work. We never have been. This morning's scripture passage from the book of Acts tells us about disciples who were also doing the work of Easter, Eastering in their own way. But what happens when we get stuck in the midst of Eastering? Actually, what happens if we never really get around to Eastering at all? Not because we don't believe, or because we didn't show up on Easter Sunday, or because we don't intend to, but because of what is holding us back or holding us in. Well, we aren't alone in that either. Before we get into our scripture passage from Acts, I do want to look at the gospel lesson today, which very much sets the stage for our Acts passage. Often the focus of the week after Easter and the focus of the scripture that we read from John is doubting Thomas. But important things happen even before Thomas is introduced. Here's what the first part of John 20 has to say, to listen one more time. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came in and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." The disciples were scared, hiding away, in fact, behind locked doors for fear of Jewish leaders. It still wasn't a great time to be a follower of Christ. But then, when we fast forward and meet the disciples in the book of Acts, they are in a bit of a different place. The disciples' experience of the resurrected Christ among them has brought them out from behind locked doors. Their fear has been replaced with the peace of Christ that was breathed upon them and with the zeal of the Holy Spirit, so much so that they are boldly speaking, teaching, healing, and converting multitudes in the streets of Jerusalem. They are on fire, which leaves Jerusalem, as you can imagine, in a bit of an uproar. This Jesus guy just won't quit. Dealing with all of this upheaval is the job of the Sanhedrin, who interpreted and guarded Jewish law, life, and custom. It was the Sanhedrin who judged Jesus and delivered him over to Pilate, and it's the Sanhedrin who examined and punished the followers of Jesus for their teaching and their activity. In these earliest days of Jesus, the Sanhedrin members find themselves once again with a full agenda. First, Peter and John are brought in to explain by what power they have healed a man lame from birth. Hearing their explanation, the Sanhedrin ordered them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus, an order the apostles immediately ignore. Their preaching adds multitudes to the community of Jesus' followers, and Jerusalem is flooded with people in need seeking healing. This time, they are thrown into prison, but miraculously set free and then returning to the streets. One more time, they find themselves facing the ruling council, which is where we meet them today. "You were strictly charged not to teach in Christ's name," the high priest says. "And now you have not only brought more crowds to Jerusalem, but you are also trying your best to blame us for Christ's death, to bring his blood on our hands." Peter's first response is not, "Oh, I'm so sorry, you're right. We'll stop. We'll keep it down about Jesus, we promise." No. He snaps right into defensive mode. I imagine him saying, "You're absolutely right. We're doing our best to blame you for Jesus' death. You killed him. His blood is on your hands, and we won't rest until everybody knows and believes it." Peter and the others are focused on Jesus, yes. And they are passionate about teaching the good news. But for Peter, it seems that pointing the finger of blame is what is fueling his mission. Perhaps he's worried that people will forget what happened, that everyone will just skip to the Easter joy and forgiveness and resurrected life and forget about what was lost. Forget about the trauma of that day and that week. Forget about the sacrifice that Christ made. Perhaps he's still grieving, still in shock, still angry with those who killed his Messiah. And you can't blame him. Grief is long and hard and messy. You see, this is the story of relentless faith and determination and discipleship. But it is also one about what fuels our call to keep Eastering, about setting aside the death and the grief to make space for the new life of the risen Christ. Since I kind of made up the word Eastering, I'm going to take the liberty of also making up its definition. And letting go, making room, creating space, that is at the very heart of what it means to be Eastering. On Easter morning, in the context of her part of the sermon, Reverend Sue shared with you words of philosopher Joseph Campbell. We've heard them before. "We must be willing to let go of the life we had planned in order to take hold of the one that is waiting for us." A perfect message for Easter Sunday and for the Easter season. Because we continue to let go and take hold. This is our work as Easter people. Letting go, making room, leaving the places of death behind us that we might inhabit fully this place of new life. An overarching theme throughout the book of Acts is a gradual letting go of the past, of old assumptions, of old dividing lines. As the early Christians try to live according to Jesus' teachings, they bump right up against the ancient division between Jews and Gentiles. They struggle mightily among themselves to answer questions about who could belong and what they had to do to belong. The book of Acts as a whole is a story about opening hearts and opening minds and opening doors of the early Christian community in order to let more Christ in. What made a statement to the Sanhedrin and to the people of Jerusalem about Peter's discipleship wasn't his finger pointing and grudge holding. It was his letting in of Christ. It was his fire, his passion, his faithfulness, his living into the peace that Christ gave to his scared disciples, the same peace that unlocked the doors of that upper room. What spoke to them was his excitement about the risen Christ's call to receive the Holy Spirit and forgive all who have sinned. It's not holding on to Christ's crucifixion and death that make us Easter people, followers of Christ. It's allowing ourselves to move beyond, grabbing hold of Christ's life and the new life offered to us and to all of creation. I've been thinking, I don't think Jesus needed that stone to be rolled away. After all, we read in John, Jesus walks right through locked doors. Even if the stone wasn't rolled away on Easter morning, I truly believe that nothing could have held Jesus back from rising from the dead. I kind of think the stone is rolled away for us, and not so that we can just roll it right back to where we came from, but so that we can see and believe, so that we might know life that really is life, so that we might be set free from what encloses us, what holds us captive, what keeps us confined by anger or resentment or grudges or fear. The hymn that we are about to sing is a familiar one. I love to tell the story. It's easy to assume this song is about desperately holding on to the past, that which has been, the old, old story. But if we stop there, I think we're missing the heart of its message. You see, ours is an old, old story, yes. But it's an old, old story of people letting go of the life they had planned so that they could grab hold of the new life Christ had waiting for them. It is an old, old story of faithful disciples embracing new ways of doing, new ways of being, new ways of believing. Human beings just like you and me making room for the miraculous, the sacred, and the holy. The old, old story is worth holding on to, absolutely. But the new, new song that Christ has waiting for us is worth letting go for. Letting go of death, of fear, of control, of grudges, of expectations, of the way things have always been. Letting go of whatever it is that is keeping us entombed, keeping us from Eastering. It doesn't mean we forget about all of those things. It doesn't mean we forget about Christ's death. It's part of the story. It happened. It's important. Letting go simply means that we see life beyond. It means that we can open up, that we can roll the stone away and leave it there, that we can hear the new, new song, embrace the promise that Christ gave his life to offer us, the promise of Easter, the promise that death won't be what guides us, that death won't have the last word or the heaviest hand, but that life will break forth and prevail, that life will be what draws people in and draws people closer, that life will move in where death once was. And that is Eastering. And that is worth holding on to and letting go for. May it be so as we look forward and Easter together as followers of the risen Christ. Amen.